Classy Mayo and Classy Freeman get over their Tyrone hurdle, but there is still life up north as the Antrim under 21 hurlers make a bit of history. There's something special about Dublin v Kerry. The Kingdom entered the Croke Park Cauldron of Blue this weekend. This is Talking GAA, I'm Dave O'Grady. We'll be looking ahead to the football a little later on with former Offaly great Roy Malone. So why not get involved with the show, either as a guest, contributor, or you can advertise or sponsor us. Simply drop us a mail to dave@talkingsport.org, and you can check out @talkingsport.org on Twitter, and it's facebook.com/talkingsport.org. It doesn't get much easier than that. Now let's get down to business. I'm thrilled and delighted to be joined by Ireland's most travelled man at this stage, Colleen Duffy, and the guy behind the banter, the GAA banter that is, Kevin Bulger of GAABanter.ie. Lads, you're very welcome to the programme this evening. I suppose, Kevin, looking back at what was a match we all expected the result to be, Mayo to get over the line against Tyrone. Tyrone, a good start by the men from the north. They looked good early on, and Mayo perhaps a little slow coming out of the blocks, but they've been rewarded, as Andy Moran says, for the hard work that they've put in, and I suppose class prevailed on the day, Kevin.
Yeah, well, it's looking back at the old cliche, a game of two halves. In one half there you had, and even towards the end of the first half, but you had Tyrone there were very good and very strong, and I think nobody really expected the game to go the way it did in the first half, with Tyrone, you know, a good bit ahead of Mayo until Mayo kind of closed it in the before the end of the first half. And then the second half was a completely different story altogether. Mayo upped the game as champions do and really showed their class to put the game to bed.
Do you think it was a case, Kevin, that Mayo might have looked a little bit nervous early on in the game, or was it a case that Tyrone just really were fired up and then maybe the legs kind of gave way a little bit in the second half?
Yeah, well, you see that a lot with expectations. When expectations are high, and especially when you look at Mayo, who haven't really been challenged this year, this is probably their first big challenge, and Tyrone, who have had several games and several challenges up to this point, so maybe they were just a little bit sharper from the offset. But once Mayo kind of hit their stride, you know, there was no stopping them.
Colleen, to bring you in on this now, you made a big fat prediction on last week's programme that it would be an absolute complete Mayo win. And you were right. You said you'd eat your hat if Tyrone undone them. But were you a little bit nervous early on? Did you think that, well, maybe this wasn't going to be Mayo's day? Or would you echo what you said last week, the style that Mayo are playing and the fact that Mayo do have that little bit of physicality, they were able to stand up to Tyrone and plus add that little bit of, pace and brilliance that they do have?
There was a bit of a steely edge to Mayo in the second half, I think. It just didn't show maybe as much in the first half, but they came into their own as the game progressed. I suppose many people had said and stated publicly that they hadn't got a real test as of yet. That test came yesterday in Croke Park, but they showed that they're a bigger team than what people were expecting maybe from them, and that there's a lot more to come from Mayo this summer. And I suppose the hoodoos exist maybe around Mayo football and All-Ireland finals, but it'll be interesting to see if that happens this year. But certainly yesterday they showed that they can grind results.
Yeah, I was reading a couple of the reactions to the match, and I know international rules manager Paul Early, Colleen, he thinks that Tyrone need to change their style of play next year, having been knocked out, and that this type of the way they play, and we've seen a little bit, well, we've seen it from All-Ireland champions Donegal as well this year when Mayo showed how to beat that system. Do you think it's now time that that system is redundant? The whole method of going out to stop the other team from playing, that has been put to bed now. Mayo have exposed it.
Yeah, certainly. I think Mayo have found Tyrone out in one of their biggest tactics as well. But I suppose one interesting thing as well yesterday was how the injuries tended to affect the game early on. You know, Peter Hart, I should say, a big loss for Tyrone. And then obviously on the other hand, we had Killian O'Connor for Mayo as well. I think Peter Hart's influence in the game, you know, he would have put in an awful lot into he would have been a central figure, I should say, in Tyrone's game plan yesterday, and it didn't work out for them because of that. And ultimately, maybe that was one of the things that went wrong from a Tyrone perspective as well yesterday. But it'll be interesting to see if there's a seismic change in tactics next year, or if Tyrone will progress. I suppose the other thing as well, will Mickey Hart continue to stay on? He's already put 10 years in behind him, but I'm sure he sees great potential in this Tyrone side, particularly with young, exciting players coming through, and that's going to be an interesting one going forward as well.
Yeah, Kevin, looking at Tyrone and the tactics that they employed, and they'll be a little bit disappointed that they didn't get through to the All-Ireland final, because they feel, no doubt, on All-Ireland final day, Tyrone very rarely lose, it's probably fair to say. Did you think maybe that, looking at players on the Mayo team like Aidan O'Shea and that, and maybe Tyrone had set out to wind them up, you know, as we've seen Tyrone teams do in the past, they can really get under other teams' skin, but it didn't seem to work this time round. Mayo kind of stuck to what they were good at, and that really prevailed.
Yeah, I mean, the whole issue of teams going out to stop other teams from playing, I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon. That's really not down to who's the better team, but it's down to the rules of the game, and the rules of the game need to change to stop that. And, you know, we're seeing the first steps towards stopping that happen. But I think ultimately you're going to see teams will evolve and teams will grow, and eventually teams like Mayo and Dublin, positive attacking teams, are going to eventually come up with a system that can stop the likes of Tyrone or Donegal playing the negative football, that can prevent the kind of game, the kind of spectacle we want to see.
Do you think, Kevin, that Tyrone carried too much baggage maybe going into this semi-final? Because I was watching it on RTE, I wasn't lucky enough to be there. I noticed every time maybe Sean Kavanagh was the camera focused on him, initially you'd see Joe Brawley or that, you know. There was a lot of off-the-field antics in the build-up. That might not have helped them.
I think last week we talked about focus and the focus that some teams have, and then how maybe Tyrone were getting a little bit distracted by the whole Joe Brawley fiasco and engaging with it with the fact sheet that they brought out. And I think, as you said, the tactics and the getting under the skin of the Mayo team, I don't think you saw that affecting Mayo, because Mayo had their focus and Mayo had their goals, much like Clare and Davy Fitzgerald did the week before. And if you have that focus and that determination, it's the little tactics and the little underhanded things that the mental games that don't seem to faze you as much.
Colleen, looking at the Mayo team now going forward to the All-Ireland final, is there any weaknesses there? We've seen a few signs, maybe a slow start, but they're renowned for that in All-Ireland finals, but maybe perhaps they've learned their lessons, and particularly having the slow start in the All-Ireland semi-final might certainly help them out for the final.
I think it will. I think they'll have learned that two small Atlanta Hibre, a good start is half the battle, as you say. But that's down to whatever opposition they're going to be facing. And I suppose if we look towards Dublin and Kerry next weekend, two teams that are very strong defensively, an injury scare for Killian Young. It's going to be interesting to see what way the Kerry defence will shape up next weekend. But going back to Mayo, certainly they have the power. I suppose they erred a little bit in front of the post yesterday, and that's one thing that's going to be needed to improve upon, I believe. But certainly they have the talent there, and they haven't shown their full hand as of yet, and that's always a good thing going into an All-Ireland final.
And what about the performance of Alan Freeman, Colleen? Particularly the penalty, I thought that was very classy, and, you know, it really summed up Mayo all year.
Of course, he had another goal as well, I suppose, in the game, but disallowed because referee Maurice Egan had already blown before that. But a very good kicker of the ball and a very well-struck penalty as well. I know some people had backed him for the first goal scorer, and he's certainly a player who will play a central role, particularly now that Killian O'Connor is out injured, of course, as well. 1-4 from Freeman, an excellent player, and what a player to bring in off the bench.
They're going to be some team to beat, of course, the favourites for the All-Ireland title. There's no doubt about that. Kevin, to come to yourself on the banter side of things, there's been a lot of stuff on GAABanter.ie that you guys are highlighting. I see they're talking about a Mayo song, which is, it's cringe-tastic. The Mayo song for Sam would put Robbie Williams and Bastille to shame. I haven't heard it myself, but I can only imagine what it's like.
Yeah, that we came across that one today. It's interesting, you know, you've seen a lot of songs coming out over the last few weeks, and it's it's great to see the songs come out, and some of them are great and some of them are not so great, and this one, it's almost so bad it's good. It's that kind of song.
we'll have to get a copy of it. There's no doubt about that. And if I was to ask you, Kevin, between the fans, obviously there was a lot of Tyrone and Mayo fans, in fact, down for this one. I know Mayo fans will be getting used to going to All-Ireland finals at this stage, but having said that, there was the whole banter between the good football versus the brute force, but I suppose it was all good, clean fun at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, I was up in Dublin myself now. I was at the Riverdance in the Gaiety Theatre on Saturday night. Saturday night when I was going out, I would say there was a lot of Mayo lads around, not so many Tyrone, and much the same then going down Harcourt Street at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. There was a lot of rough-looking Mayo heads going down towards Croke Park. But yeah, there was good banter between the Mayo and Tyrone fans from what I seen on the night before the game anyway.
It's been a good football championship though, Colleen, hasn't it? I mean, we were talking about the hurling there over the past few weeks, but the football can stand up as well. We've seen great football prevail. We've seen all the off the field antics and the high profile pundits getting rightly stuck in, but it's been exciting. Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, it certainly has. And I suppose one story this summer as well, along with that, of course, has to be the London footballers getting to the Connacht final. It has been high quality football in the main, I suppose, as well. And a couple of unpredictable results maybe along the way. I mean, some maybe wouldn't have fancied Tyrone to get all the way to an All-Ireland semi-final yesterday, based on the fact that they had to come from the first round of the qualifiers, that they also had a lot of young players on board, some experienced heads fallen by the wayside as well. But certainly overall, this championship, it can stand up with it. The rest, and I think football's getting better to watch as well.
Yeah, it sure is, and long may it continue. Now, I just want to move things on, lads, and look, before we look ahead to the second All-Ireland semi-final between the Dubs and Kerry, I want to look at what was two pretty good under-21 hurling semi-finals. Now, we know that Clare will take on Antrim, and Colleen, I think the talk of the hurling semi-finals there in the under-21 championship was, in fact, Antrim stunning Wexford. A game you were at Semple Stadium, 215-116. I caught this match on TV as well. Fantastic for Ulster hurling.
Certainly a great result. And when you look into the mix that Antrim just had 19 players travelling with them owing to some club football fixtures up in Antrim and different things around that as well, it just makes it even more powerful. I suppose Wexford had won a rare Leinster title, the first in 11 years, a couple of weeks back. And the gap, I suppose, you know, how do you deal with something like that after coming off such a high to trying to focus players' minds into an All-Ireland semi-final? Sometimes that can come to the fore, but certainly last Saturday, the hurling that Antrim played was immense from start to finish. There was no fluke about this result, and when you factor into the equation that Wexford scored one goal and 2 points in the closing minutes unanswered as well, you know that Antrim were really up for this, and they certainly proved their worth on Saturday evening.
And I think, Kevin, to bring yourself in on that, as Colin was mentioning, it's fantastic for Ulster hurling. There's no doubt about that. When we start hearing some northern accents coming down to Croke Park on championship days when it's hurling being played, I think it'll be certainly refreshing, particularly from the banter side of the GAA.
Yeah, and I didn't actually get to see the game myself, but I've been reading all the reports and I'll be looking out for the replay on TG Catter at some stage this week. But I mean, Wexford are a great team and they have some great players in there like Guiney and Lee Chin and others. And, you know, they did brilliantly to beat Kilkenny in the final of the Leinster final. So, I mean, for Antrim to come in there and win comprehensively, I suppose, against Wexford was a great achievement, and it's great to see Northern teams starting to become competitive in hurling. And even on our site at the moment, you know, we've a few videos being sent in to us there of young lads from County Derry and Down performing some freestyle hurling and the likes of that. You know, there's some great strongholds for hurling up the north, and you know, maybe it's not as popular all around, but I mean, if it starts to gain more popularity and you start to see a bit more competitiveness from the likes of Antrim, and who are kind of leading the charge up there, and maybe if Down and the likes start to become more competitive, we could see an all around more entertaining hurling side.
Because I remember being on St. Patrick's Day a good few years ago at this stage, being in Croke Park for the club finals, and I think it was Dunloy were taking on Birr, and there was, I think, half of Antrim were down supporting Dunloy in this match, and it was an unbelievable atmosphere, and they really, really brought something to the occasion. Huge for the GAA, Kevin, as a whole, though.
Yeah, because obviously the GAA now are trying to, with hurling, I think the main, with football, I think the main focus is on rules and trying to make it a more entertaining sport. With hurling, they face a completely different problem where it's the fact that there's so many other counties in the country don't compete at hurling at a high level, whereas the football championship's a lot more open. So they'd love to see the likes of Antrim and Down and Derry becoming more competitive at hurling, and it's certainly something they're looking forward to.
Exciting things altogether. And Colleen, what a season it's been for Clare, the under 21 team. They've beaten Galway by 12 points to get into the final. We talked about the strength in depth of the Clare senior hurlers, having these young lads playing minor as well and under 21. Now, being in an under 21 final, is this the next big thing now in hurling? Are these guys are Clare really going to show focus now going forward? I mean, to ease past a Galway team by 12 points in a semi-final is very impressive.
And of course, as well, they're already the holders from last year. So defending back-to-back titles is never easy in terms of any All-Ireland competition or indeed a provincial competition. So it's going to be interesting to see how they will cope with that, particularly when this All-Ireland Under-21 hurling final is 6 days after the big senior game against Cork in Croke Park. So it's going to be interesting on how that one is handled and the effect that whatever result will happen on the senior sense will make on these under-21s. Of course, a sizable number of them are involved with both panels as well. You had four starters from the game against Limerick in the senior semi-final starting for Clare under-21s at the weekend, including Pádraig Collins, who had a great game. Then you've the likes of Cathal O'Connell, one goal and 6 points from him, an excellent goal from play, and 3 points from play for Davy O'Halloran on the opposite wing. This Clare team are quite special, and it's going to be an interesting final, I believe, but certainly what they've done last Saturday night was quite impressive. But one has to feel for Galway in another sense as well, because this is a Galway team that are coming into this competition from the cold, and it's a perennial debate of what exactly do you do. It's the same with the Galway minor hurlers. They come in at the quarter-final stage of the All-Ireland Series, where every other county that reaches that stage of the championship has a summer of hurling behind them and competitive hurling at that. But Clare certainly will be focused, I feel, on this under-21 title as well. And to go back to your point about looking ahead to the future and being a powerhouse in hurling, you know, nobody in Clare even imagined that at the start of the summer, including people in the background involved with these Clare teams, that this would actually happen. You know, a bonus, if you like, to have two teams, a bonus to have one team, I should say, in the final, never mind two. So why stop here will be the motto for them, and it's going to be pretty intriguing from an under-21 perspective against an Antrim side that will have guys very hungry, I'm sure, to add themselves to the panel, and that I'm sure training in Antrim is going to be pretty intense in the next few weeks as well, particularly when you have Kevin Ryan there as their manager, a man who has done quite well with the likes of Carlo and in club teams in Wexford and other places over the last couple of years as well.
And to make a quick prediction, Colleen, you probably go along with Clare, I'd say, for this one, even though Antrim have the hunger, as you said.
Antrim have great hunger, but Clare have great talent as well, and notwithstanding Antrim's talent, I just think maybe sometimes they say that when a big gap is bridged, that's the All-Ireland one, if you like. As I mentioned earlier on, Wexford hurlers bridged a huge gap to win that Leinster title a few weeks back, and maybe they were a bit complacent coming in to the semi-final. Maybe Antrim's All-Ireland was the All-Ireland semi-final, but one thing Kevin Ryan was saying after the game last Saturday, and it's in the players as well, we want to perform, you know, they want to go on and give it their all in the final, and hopefully it's a competitive final. But I'll have to hat tip my hat to clear on this occasion, because for Antrim, it's the first Antrim team, as we know, into an All-Ireland final, but it's also a first Ulster team as well. But here's hoping for a competitive clash.
Yeah, we do. We wish them the very best of luck going forward, and hopefully it will be a classic game. Now, lads, just before we finish and wrap up, I have to look ahead to the big one in Croke Park this week. Dublin Kerry, it doesn't get much bigger than this unless it was the final, which did happen in 2011, which the Dubs won. Kevin, to come to yourself on this game, a huge, huge game in Croke Park. Dublin going in as Leinster champions, Kerry going in as Munster champions. Both teams have defeated Cork. Both teams play a good brand of football. Kerry will no doubt be looking to use the tactic of pumping maybe the high ball in and putting pressure on that Dublin defence, which has been exposed recently. How do you think this game is going to go? It's going to be one hell of a belter.
Yeah, it's a very difficult one to call. You have two extremely talented teams who are playing a great brand of football, something that's great to watch. Yeah, I think looking at Dublin, maybe they might have a bit more youth and energy than Kerry have. Kerry are fading away a bit more. You still have a lot of experienced players in the Kerry team who could be vital. But I think looking at the Dublin team, you've got a lot of people there like Jack McCaffrey there who just bring a lot of energy and excitement into the Dublin team. I think that could be really important on Sunday.
Yeah, that's a thing. I think a lot of Dubs are going to be putting for the reason why the Dubs think they're going to win. They'll say that those halfbacks in James McCarthy, Jack McCaffrey, we've seen even in midfield the likes of Michael Darren McCauley, there's a lot of engines in there, and they'll be up, and Jim Gavin likes to use them up and down the pitch constantly. Will that give Kerry a bit of trouble?
It's going to be interesting to see how the Kerry defence is going to cope with this. And I think that, you know, sometimes they say experience wins out over youth. But this time, you know, Dublin have youth in abundance and they're spreading their scores quite well. And if you look at the amount of goal scorers in particular that Dublin have had in this championship so far, we've already seen 7 different players send the ball to the back of the net. 1-10 so far for Bernard Brogan in the championship. Paul Mannion's got 2 goals. Paul Flynn's got 1. And Paddy Andrews, Dermot Connolly, Owen O'Gara and Jack McCaffrey all with a goal each as well. It's not that Dublin have come up against bad defences either this year. So it's going to be interesting from that perspective. And I think really Dublin's young, exciting talent coming through, they don't mind the big days in Croke Park because they've played every game in Croke Park this year. They've also had great experience there in the league, and that's going to stand to them quite well against the Kerry team, who didn't have the biggest of tests against Cavan last day out either. So I think from that perspective that Dublin are certainly better prepared for this game. They look sharper up front, and really it's Dublin's to win, but certainly you can never write off a Kerry team either.
No, and Colleen, you made the point about Dublin, the young team, and they're not the type of team, they don't mind the big days in Croke Park. No doubt we're going to be experiencing a great contrast to the days where Dublin were coming in as Leinster champions and somehow being hot favourites over Kerry and then getting annihilated in the first 20 minutes. Those days are gone, do you think?
Dublin seem to shield themselves quite well from the hype. I suppose for a lot of these players as well, they're coming through having won under 21 All-Irelands. There was a gap maybe for a couple of years for Dublin having success at those levels when it came to All-Irelands, and now it's starting to show through again. And you know, you've got players who are eager for places. I mean, the likes of Paddy Andrews, for instance, he's been around the squad for a few years. You know, he's pushing hard for starting berths this year as well. And you've got that coupled with the talent that's just come in, the likes of the Kieran Kilkennys of this world, Paul Mannions. There's a different steeliness about this Dublin team and group of players that I think the experience of underage, that they've learned it early on, if you like, and they can deal with the hype quite well. And I think that's one thing that's standing well to the Dublin of the 2011 to 2013 era, if you like, that, you know, maybe wasn't there in the past, but the hype machine doesn't seem to affect them maybe as much as in previous years.
Kevin, would you go along with that? that. We've seen Dublin teams of the past crumble, but the hype machine these days doesn't affect these young lads. And in contrast to Kerry, Dublin have had a lot of success at under 21 level and indeed at minor level as well, whereas I know there's been a lot of things not quite right behind the scenes at underage in Kerry football and the clubs in Kerry as well. But would you agree with Colleen there that it's something that it would be Dublin's game to lose?
Yeah, certainly no. And I'm still young, but as long as I can remember, I can always remember Dublin being hyped up to the last and just always underperforming, never seeming to get over the line. I think ever since their All-Ireland victory there a couple of years ago, there's always been some sort of psychological barrier broken there, and they seem to have it in them, I think, to beat Kerry and Croker and in a big All-Ireland final again. And they're coming up against Kerry, and honestly, looking at the Dublin team, they look very confident. And as you say, they've played a lot of games in Croke Park, and it's a point for contention, I suppose, that they get to play in Croke Park so often, but it's only going to stand towards them. And as you said, they protect themselves very well, and I think the younger players aren't fazed the younger players aren't really fazed, I don't think, psychologically as much as you would think be by the scale of the game on Sunday. You know, they seem to fit into the situation very well.
The hammering that the Dubs gave Kerry down in Kerry in the league, I suppose that won't bear anything on this game.
No, I mean, the league's the league, and it is kind of a good measuring stick to see, kind of measure up how teams are going along. But I mean, you can't really take too much. I think Kerry were poor during the league at times, and they were great during the league at times. It was a bit of hot and cold. Dublin, on the other hand, were just unstoppable throughout the league. And I think it'll be a close game. But I mean, Dublin have been firing on all cylinders all year, and they've been infallible at some stages. You know, they really have put very few feet wrong in the entire year.
Yeah, well, it all remains to be seen. Well, my thanks there to Colleen Duffy and Kevin Bulger. Who knows what's going to be happening? It's going to be a cracking game. Thanks, lads. If you'd like to sponsor, advertise, or simply get involved with any of the shows on talkingsport.org, drop us an email to dave@talkingsport.org. That's dave@talkingsport.org. Welcome back to Talking GAA. Now, I'm delighted to be joined by former Offaly footballer Roy Malone. Roy, thanks a million for joining us on the programme. We'll look ahead to the big semi-final clash this week. But first, I want to talk to you about your recent involvement in the Live GAA results site. It's livegaaresults.com is the website. Now, you guys provide information on every type of GAA game, not just in Ireland, but around the world. It's quite remarkable.
Yeah, basically the website is, you can check any results from any, each GAA club is affiliated to a county board or a kind of a regional board, obviously a county board in Ireland and a kind of a regional board around the world, and the likes of Australia and these other, in America and these other places. And basically each GAA club, as I say, is they upload information, and they're organized into the county pages, or in the case of Australia and America, into their regions pages. And the website picks up all that information. So basically speaking, we have up to the second GA live GA results from every club in the world. So it's an innovative site. It's at the minute, it's on Twitter also. We have a Twitter account which at the minute there's about 17,000 followers there at the minute on Twitter.
Fantastic.
By next week you should have about 17,000 followers anyway. But so basically it's an up to the second result service around the world, you know. So we think it's a good site.
It's a really clever way, on particularly the homepage. I really like this. There's a big picture of Ireland, and then there's select county, and you can, as you said, you can select 32 counties in Ireland, or below it says pick a region below, and you've got the United Kingdom, New York, USA, Canada, Europe, Australasia, and then the rest of the world.
Yeah.
How do you guys keep track of everything? Because the amount of information, I suppose, with the social media age these days, there's a lot more information available than there would have been even, say, a year ago, we'll say, but still, to keep track of all of this, it's some job.
Yeah, well, it's more or less an automated process. You know, Tom is the brains behind the operation. Tom McDermott, you know, with Live GA Results. He's the IT geek that's looking after all that end of things. You know, but basically it's an automated system that we just have captured each GA club's posts. We'll say results post, you know. So whatever way he has manufactured it or designed it, we're capturing each club's as I say results post, and each county, as I said before, it's assigned to each county, each region, and we pick up on that, you know. So basically it's we're just getting up to the second result service, you know, which is great.
I can imagine it's very busy now coming up to the real business end of both championships.
Yeah, well, funny enough, because it's each club's posts are captured on the site, it's busy all year round, you know. So at the minute, with county games and that, it's pretty busy. But as you know, county finals and club games go on well into November, October, November, December. You know, so it's an all year round service, basically. You know, so it's busy all year round, basically. You know,
wow, incredible.
The Twitter account also has. Post all the kind of latest GA news stories from we'll say other media sources. We'll say if there was a story on an injury to a player on the Irish Independent, you know, the Twitter account captured those posts also. You know, so it's an informative site apart from the results. Just the results.
Yeah, I've noticed, Roy, over the past year and a half to 2 years, there's been more GAA sites popping up, and it's really, I think it's great, to be honest, because it's really giving GAA an international platform. You know, we had earlier on the programme, we had Kevin Bulger of GAABanter.ie, and they've got a lot of followers as well. But all these great GAA sites is really doing its best to showcase GAA to the world, I think.
Well, at the minute, you know, there's so much informative sites like that GA Banter and like GA Results. You know, it just gives you everything that's going on in the world at your fingertips. You know, it really is great.
Yeah, and now for anybody looking to check it out, it's livegaaresults.com, or you can go to the Twitter account at livegaaresults. Fantastic altogether. Now, huge week in football, Roy. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Dublin against Kerry. A fantastic week that we've just seen with Mayo defeating Tyrone. Looking at the football championship yourself as a whole, I think it's been a pretty good championship, Roy. No doubt you'd probably agree with that. Brings back a few memories from when yourself and the lads were ripping it up in Leinster, the glorious era for Offaly football, yourself, Vinnie Claffey and Peter Brady.
Yeah, it's I was at the Leinster final this year, and it certainly brought back memories to our time back then. All right, you know, we had a brief some limited enough success I suppose back in the late 90s, but no, I think what strikes me most about the championship year after year is just how progressive it is, how the strength and conditioning and the condition of footballers and the preparation of footballers and the fitness, it's just unbelievable now that the preparation that's gone into preparing these teams and the physical, the size that the are and the fitness that they're achieving, like it's incredible. Like back in 97 when we won our Leinster, we would have been we would have been one of the fittest teams in the country around that time. You know, we trained really hard, but we were training on a Tuesday, a Thursday, and we trained on a Saturday and maybe had a match on the Sunday. Now it's just incredible, the preparation that's going on. Like, the players are literally training nearly seven times a week, like, or meeting seven times a week, doing some sort of training, be it maybe a recovery session on a Monday after a game at the weekend. Like, it's incredible what these players are doing, and it's, I suppose, in a way, maybe kind of leaving the weaker teams or the smaller counties like the likes of Offaly and the likes of maybe the counties with the smaller populations and limited resources, it's kind of leaving them a little bit behind, you know. You're only going to be seeing kind of teams like with Dublin, Mayo, with huge populations. Some of the Ulster teams that would have huge, big populations and big financial backing, and the likes of Kerry and Cork, you know. So, but saying all that, it's a brilliant championship, and it has been a brilliant championship. I've seen quite a few games this year live. Actually, I've seen Dublin 3 or 4 times, and that Dublin team is it's the most complete forward outfit that I've ever seen. Anyway, they're incredible bunch of players, you know. And what's refreshing also is the brand of football that Dublin are playing. It's just really, really brilliant football. And Kerry also like to play good football and play expansively, and Arden wouldn't be as we'll say into the kind of negative the defensive game that a lot of teams are adopting these days. So I'm hopefully going to that game on Sunday. I can't wait for it.
Is it something really exciting though, Roy, that we haven't seen in recent years, with the fact that the teams that are in the business end of the championship are the ones that have been playing the free flowing football? We see Mayo in another All Ireland final. Dublin have stuck to their free flowing Jim Gavin's kind of style, which was very different to what Pat Gilroy had, the way the Dubs were playing. But at the same time, it's quite refreshing to see the championship a little bit different this year, and seeing teams try to copy the way, we'll say, Pat Spillane would have us all play.
Yeah, it is. It's especially this weekend's game now is going to be, it's just a mouthwatering tie, you know. It's a game that I just wouldn't miss, you know. A game for the purists, I suppose you could say. But still, we'll say Mayo have a defensive side to them, you know. Yesterday, I suppose, they showed a little bit of fear for the first time this year, and played with a sweep, which they hadn't done, and I thought it kind of went against them a little bit, you know. But I agree with what you're saying. Essentially, the teams that are left in it are footballing teams, and it is refreshing. It's good, not taking away anything from Donegal last year. Donegal brought a different, I suppose, a different dynamic to the championship. You know, it was pure heart and determination and a little skill either, I suppose, at the end of the day, that won them in All Ireland. But I think it was the work ethic was maybe stronger than the more free flowing natural type of football that Dublin and Kerry are playing this year, you know.
And I know it's going to be a very tough question to answer, because you can never ever write off a Kerry team. But how do you see the game going? A lot of people are saying that perhaps if Kerry get the ball in long and put the Dublin defence under pressure, there could be a good chance there that it could happen. Other people are saying the Dubs won't have passed that. They're long gone from the phase where they will lie down to Kerry. This is a young Dublin team that have won All Ireland at under 21 level. It's going to be a huge one, very hard to call.
It is a huge one, but I all year long I've been saying Dublin are going to win the All Ireland, and I've been saying that I can't see anybody beating them. That the six forwards that Dublin have, like Paul Finn, Kieran Kilkenny, Connolly, Brogan, Mannion, like those five players they would get on any team in the country, you know. They're just incredible, and whether it be Owen Agara, Paddy Andrews, or maybe Brian Cullen, or somebody else might come in there, like those six forwards are going to be hard stopped. And I'm not sure that Mark O'Shea obviously is one of the best defenders in the country. Killian Young is a great defender. Tomás O'Shea, brilliant defender, but maybe he's on his last legs. I'm not sure. I don't know if the six Kerry backs can stop that forward division of Dublin. Sean Fitzgerald there and Crowley and Enright, and they're a little bit maybe inexperienced. The people say that the Dublin defence, O'Brien and Cooper and Carroll, are, you know, that they're I suppose when you look at the Kerry forward division as well, like Declan O'Sullivan, unbelievable footballer, Gooch, the best ever, Paul Galvin, Darren O'Sullivan, Donaghy, these guys. I suppose maybe it's going to be a shootout between the two forward divisions, you know. But I just think Dublin, I just look a more balanced team. I think people say that the Dublin midfield isn't that strong, but the way the play plucks them, it's kind of midfield is kind of bypassed as a kind of a ball winning area. And Cluxton just picks out guys kind of running to the wings, and then the running power of Darren McCauley and Keenan Sullivan. You know, I just don't think that Dublin team is going to be stopped. You know, that's my my humble opinion.
Yeah, no, fair play to you, Roy. It's going to be a terrific game. I hope you enjoy it. I think if it does turn out to be a shooting contest between the Dublin forwards and the Kerry forwards, I think we'll be in for a real treat in Croke Park this week. Before I let you go, I have to ask you, any plans on the horizon? Are you getting involved with any teams? What's the plan? You're doing some great stuff there with livegaaresults.com.
Yeah, no, just at the minute, I suppose, I'm still involved with my club team at home. I play a bit of intermediate and I'm kind of involved in the senior panel and the periphery of the panel, I suppose, at this stage. Still be playing away regularly with the guys, you know, and I'm involved with that. But I suppose I'm involved with Offaly under-15 development squad at the minute as well, you know. So I suppose maybe down the line, maybe management might be or get into coaching or management eventually, you know. A couple of clubs, local clubs, would have offered to take me on as a manager, but I just didn't feel ready for that just yet, you know.
Not fancying the leash job now.
Oh, because I wouldn't be at that level anywhere yet, you know. If I was to think about management, I'd maybe start with a junior and intermediate club somewhere along the line and earn me stripes, you know, that way, you know. But I'm going to play football as long as I'm able to stand up, you know. I don't think anything will ever replace playing, be it even just representing my club at intermediate level or junior level. I keep going until I'm not able anymore. And when you finish, you know. You won't go back, you won't be able to go back. So I intend to play on as long as possible, and then maybe look into maybe some sort of coaching role down the road, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wish you the very best of luck, Roy. It's so refreshing to hear a player talk like that, wanting to play as long as possible. Thanks a million for joining us on the programme, and enjoy the week, enjoy the match, and we'll chat to you again soon.
Great stuff. Thanks very much.
Yes, indeed. Former Offaly footballer Roy Malone speaking to us there. Well, I'm afraid we're out of time here on Talking GAA. Don't forget to tweet us. It's at TalkingSport.org and we're on Facebook as well. My thanks to Colleen Duffy, Kevin Bulger and Roy Malone. We'll do it all again very, very soon. Enjoy a terrific semi-final in Croke Park on Sunday.